In church. Well, have you ever been in a situation, maybe I can take you back to your earliest memory as a kid when mom or dad asked you, said, don't do that, because if you do that, you are going to be in big trouble, and you know what? You just went and did it. And then you had to meet them again. What did you have to say? What was your first word? Were you able to say anything at all? Or think of a situation where maybe it was your boss and you were working and your employer said, listen, whatever you do, don't do that. And you know what? That's the only thing you did. And then you had to report back to him. So, what did you say? What was the words that came from your mouth? You know, it all depends on who they were. If you were even afraid to go back, to report or not to report. Or even if it's a loved one at home. And you did something, and you're in a big mess, and you had to let them know that you did a big boo-boo, you messed up. What would you say? In Jeremiah chapter 29, if you could turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29, and your notes also, the key verse for this series has been, and we've been looking at, 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, how do we love life? And if you want to see good days, one of the things you need to do with your tongue is not to speak evil. But then what do you do when you speak to the right person at the right time? What is the most important conversation you could ever have? Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to read two or three verses and then look at this message on the most important conversation that you and I could ever have. With whom? And what are we going to say? For thus saith the Lord, verse 10, Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word. God's words are always good, wholesome, complete, affirming. He says, my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts. It's always good when you find out what people are thinking about you before you talk to them. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. What kind of thoughts are these? Follow this. I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That verse is so affirming to me. Maybe you're in our church this morning and you're thinking, you know, I'm here for the service. What am I going to do after this? Next week, how's that going to look? God says, I know what I'm thinking and planning for you. It's for a future and a hope. But then few of us read verse 12. That's after that. Now God is speaking and we are listening and receiving. Now he says, then you will call on me. And you will come to me and go and pray to me. And I will listen. I will listen. And you will seek me. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, turn in your study guides if you have it. And I'm going to quickly go over the little context in which this verse is there. We all know this verse, call on me and I will come and I will pray to me and I will listen to you. Seek me and you will find me if you do so with all your heart. Now, what's the context of that verse? It's very important. You see, Israel, God's people, were in big, big trouble. They're not in deep trouble. They were also in desperate need for God. God had warned them not to go after false gods. They had intermarried in the people of the other lands and they had incorporated idolatry. They had idols. Jehovah had said to them, you shall love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. Do not make any graven image. And now they had idols. So they were worshipping idols. Apart from idolatry, there was rampant immorality. They had forgotten to blush. They were into all immoral issues that God got so upset, he allowed the Babylonians, this big kingdom, to come and take them into exile. They were in exile in Babylon. And you could imagine how they felt. They're not in the land. They messed up. God had told them not to go after these false gods. God had warned and given them their standard of purity and holiness with all the Levitical laws. And they had broken all these laws. Now they are in big trouble. They're in desperate need. It is in this context that Yahweh comes to them and said, listen, call on me. Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. And I wonder how Israel felt. So if you're filling up the blanks here, the first thing is they were exiles in Babylon. And because of their idolatry and immorality. But God comes to them. Not only as a God who makes covenants with his people, but a God who keeps his promises. God had made a promise to bring them back to the land. He is going to do it. You know, before we even begin this message, as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, how different are we in America now, today, as Israel were, and what God dealt with them? Immorality and idolatry. God says, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go into exile. Look what's happening in our country. Think about the legalization of homosexuality in every state. We are mocking God, taking Him systematically out of the systems. Look what's happening to us. We are making ourselves our own God. I tell you, the other day I was driving on the road and I saw this Mustang convertible. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, what an idol. You know, we've made ourselves idols. Materialism, consumerism. We are in a Walmart age. I mean, you are what you buy. We are making our own golden calves. And we have forgotten the worship of Yahweh. And God says, you know, we're going to reap the consequences of the choices we make. It's a matter of time. So what do? We're in trouble. Can we go back to daddy? I remember I was so scared when I got into trouble in school. And in those days when I was in school, the teacher used to take a scale and whack me. Or, you know, give it. Now they call 911, I think. But anyway, they used to whack me. And I was scared to come and tell my dad. You know why? He'll give me part two when I come home. I mean, like, why would I want to tell him anything, you know? But there was one person I really grew up with, and I thought about him so much. Was Gene Tozer, a guy who mentored me from the Keswick Convention. And you know, no matter what trouble I got, as I grew up, I was a bit of a street kid. I played football on the streets. I got into fights and so on, and a filthy mouth, you know. And every time I went to Gene Tozer, he would say, hey, Chris, sit down. Would you like a cup of tea and some of those cookies with walnuts that Ruth makes? I'm like, yes, in your presence. You know, that's really nice. And he would talk to me. What happened? Tell me. And I'd say, you know, that guy irritated me. It was his fault. He would patiently listen to me till I talked to him. I could always approach Mr. Tozer. Do you have someone like that you can approach when you're in deep trouble? I was in deep trouble yesterday. In critical trouble. I flew in a kind of a red-eye flight around 1 o'clock from New York, and I landed in Lynchburg yesterday. And then I had to do the Awana conference, National Awana conference there. So I spoke, and I said to the organizer of the conference, would you mind if I go home after that? I know we have a nice luncheon with all the who's who don't know what's what. But anyway, we're there together. I said, do you mind if I go home? I haven't seen my family for almost 2 weeks after teaching at Word of Life. He said, yeah, Dr. G, you can leave, no problem. So I'm sitting in my car, you know, almost 3 hours, 29, you know, worshiping. The foliage is just beautiful. I thought I died and gone to heaven, you know. I'm just praying and with my eyes open and worshiping. And it's just, you know, my Toyota Prius, you know, put it on cruise, you know, hybrid. And there it is, 52 gallons per liter. It's like, 52 miles per gallon. And I'm like, wow, this is life. Just then, I got a text from my daughter. And she said, Dad, our house has been burgled. And somebody had come, broken in the garage. They found out and they smashed in and all that stuff, broke the door. And of course, I didn't know what to do. I'm driving. It's a beautiful day. I mean, what do we do? So I said, is Mom okay? So I said, call 911. And they did. And then we had these two cops. I've seen this in movies, but we hadn't seen, you know, in the houses, each door open next, you know. And I'm like, whoa, this is happening in my house. You know, but I tell you what, it was scary last night. We all slept together. They're over 23 years, but we all slept together for once. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, what do you do? What do you do? But I suddenly realized, you know, I called several people. But of all the people I called, nobody answered me. I mean, I know they were all busy, but I was calling them and I said, I asked them, did the cops come? They said they eventually did. Yeah, they're here. And I was so relieved because I'm driving. And you know, suddenly it hit me with all my spirituality. I was so self-centered, looking at my own resources, I forgot to have the most important conversation that I could have. I eventually got on the road when I knew, okay, I need to talk to God about this. I said, God, my wife and my daughters are also your children. I commit them to you. We don't know if the guy is still in the basement or where, with all these cops with guns, we don't know, away from home. But we tend to do that. And yesterday's incident kind of triggered into my heart this message all the more to thinking how important it is to talk to the most important person. Maybe it's important to call the cops and the police. Maybe it's important to call people who are resourceful nearby. Even my neighbors didn't pick it up. The two neighbors I have, one I go with a Muslim friend, I always go to walk with him over the weekends. He too wasn't there. He's usually there. He works at the airport. And he wasn't there either. But there are going to be situations that you are in a situation where you have nobody to talk to or no one to help you. What do you do? Well, you need to have the most important conversation. And I believe it's the most important conversation because of who you're having it with. You're having it with the most important person in all the world, God of all creation. He knows, he understands. So God is saying to them, call on me and I will answer you. God's plans is to give them a good future. To give them a good future. You have his promises and he wants to give them a good future. Very quickly to mention the situation that happened in ancient Israel. We call this in the ancient Near Eastern cultures. They were territorial gods. In other words, in a particular territory or area, geographical area, there will be a god, an idol. And that god is for that area. Okay, that's kind of out of limit. That's their turf. And also, these gods had to be appeased. And people went to these gods and prayed and offered, had sacrifices for two main reasons. Either they feared these gods, they were scared. If they didn't do the oblation, if they didn't do the offering, these gods would get mad and crazy. They'll send lightning and thunder, they'll destroy the crops, they'll send pestilence, there'll be plagues, their babies will die, and they're like, oh, we better worship this god. Let's go to this god with fear. Trepidation, phobic worship. That's how people did. There's another reason people approached God, because they wanted something from him. They wanted prosperity in the land, they wanted a job, they wanted a baby, they wanted some kind of favor and help, so they went to God. As I got thinking, I thought to myself, isn't it sad? That's precisely how we go to God too, or why we pray. Remember the last time you prayed? Sincerely prayed. You were in trouble. You needed something. There was a sense of fear. And you said, I got to pray about this. How do you think God feels? The only time that we talk to him is when we have the SOS. Lord, I need your help. Bail me out of this. I think we should learn to talk to God. We say, Nyanakin, tell us, how do we do that? How can we approach this God? We know how they did it in those pagan lands and why Israel was afraid to go to God because they really messed up in idolatry and immoral. How do we? We too are in similar situations. Why should we go to God and how do we? What do we say to him? I'm glad you asked. Now, look at your outline and we're going to talk about God because God is number one, a compassionate God. A God who is full of compassion. Our lady sang it. I could almost start tapping and dancing right there. That's a wonderful singing, wasn't it? That's unbelievable. God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. Forever. He is a God of all compassion. That's why you can always come again and again to this God, because he cares for you. He deeply does. The word compassion literally means to share in the suffering of somebody else. Compassio. To share in someone else's suffering. Yahweh was unlike all the other gods. He was a God who made covenants. And even though they broke it, he takes the initiative to come and say, listen, let's talk about it. Come to me. Call on me. Come to me. Approach me. I am merciful. Let me say this morning, whoever you are, if you're in our church, you may say, listen, what I messed up, I blew it, it's me again. We can still come back to this Father God because He's compassionate. He is full of compassion. What He does say to Israel, which He says to us, He says, listen, don't go after those false gods in Babylon. Listen, don't listen to the prophets, the false prophets that are in Babylon. The sad part is for us, when we get into trouble, we talk to everybody except God. Converse with God. Church, are you listening to me? In any relationship, the first thing that is symptomatic of a problem, whether it's marriage or whatever area, the number one symptom of a broken relationship is that you stop talking. Our conversation shuts down. We don't want to talk about it. That's why God says, come, let us call on me. I am listening to you. I want to hear. His ear is inclined to listen to his children. What did you say? Can I help you? I'm here. You did it again? That's all right. So God is listening. Talk, talk. God takes the initiative to listen. This conversation should be a two-way conversation. We need to have this most important conversation with God, because He is a God of grace. He is gracious. He is compassionate. We can approach Him. One of the reasons we approach God is because of who He is. So what kind of God do we have? You remember this Mr. Tozer, Gene Tozer, whom I could always go when I got in trouble because he listened to me? That doesn't mean he pampered and fussed with me and gave me what I wanted. He would rebuke me. Sometimes he will chasten me. Sometimes he'll check on me. But he was always approachable. You could go to him. We live in a world where people are too busy. We are too busy for our own good. We don't have time. I tell you, my iPhone. I have a relationship with my iPhone, you know. But I tell you what, I worry. I like what technology is doing to us. No, I should put it the other way. I love what technology is doing for us, but I don't like what it's doing to us. It can connect us to someone across the world and disconnect us to someone right in front of you. Have you thought of that? We were in that restaurant the other day. We're sitting there, candlelight and everything. Someone else is there. And you know what? Both the couple, I guess they're romantic, or there's a candle in between them. And they're both on their phones. And I was thinking, I was looking, I said, you know what? I hope they're not texting each other. We don't know what to talk. We're living in a generation we've forgotten to communicate. The television's there. We're all glowing and shouting at the person on the television. We're not talking to one another. God says, come, let's have a conversation. So, number one, listen, God is speaking, you can talk to Him. Secondly, do you know who's talking and who's listening? Who is the person who's listening? What kind of a God do we have? Psalm 139 is a very, very important psalm. I wish we could take it apart. I would encourage you to go home and read it. The key word in Psalm 139 is the word know. Know. This knowledge, the fact that God knows everything, is something that causes David to draw to God. Now, there are several things we can look at this psalm, but I want to just highlight a few things. The reason why David comes to God and talks to God in prayer is because David knows that God has already searched him. God knows. The word is, He has put David under a microscope and He is scrutinized. He knows everything there is to know about David. Who he is, where he is, where he goes, his movement, is going forth, is coming in. Everything God knows. He's acquainted with all his ways. Now, tell me, church, what are you and I going to talk to God about that he doesn't know? What is it we're going to say to him that he's like, huh? Really? You did that? I mean, can you surprise or shock God? Like, can you tell him something and he goes, oh, I see. Now I figure it out. Does that happen to God? God knows everything about us.
Why isn't it that we are talking to Him? Our conversation with God is so essential based on His character, who He is, that He knows us in and out. He knows everything there is before in our mother's womb, from the tomb to the womb, from the womb to the tomb. He knows everything. That should encourage us to draw near to Him.
David found two things because of God. Number one, he found security. God, you know everything. I can come just sit next to you. I can just be in your presence. Security. The second thing is intimacy. Intimacy.
David can go close to God. He can whisper anytime, anything. Because God was there. God was not a concept in the sky by and by. God was not some theological framework that he could figure out. God was a person right there. Talk, talk. God is listening.
Intimacy with God. Closeness is so very, very important. Talk to God. David also knows that God's knowledge is not only comprehensive, it's perfect. He knows everything from afar. And I like this phrase. He says, even in the dark, and verse 15, mysterious places. God knows. God knows. He is there. You know, there's some things I wonder what's going to happen or why it happened. I mean, yesterday, I don't know why. I mean, of all, I don't know why someone would come and burgle my house. They didn't find anything in it. So anyway, I mean, it's like, why would you burgle that? I was just happy all my three girls were alive and nothing was harmed. But I mean, why did that happen? I also think, you know, I'm usually away over weekends. I'm usually away, you know, sometimes in another country. How come I was back home to spend that night with my family? You know, that's kind of like, I don't know. You think God was in this? You think God's saying something to me? That God's getting my family to rally closer, not only to one another, but closer to Him? I think so. So these things, I don't know, it seems like a mystery, but it's not a mystery. It's not hidden from God. We can come to Him. There's two fancy words I put up here just to impress you, but listen. God knows everything there is to know, which means He's omniscient. He knows everything, whether it's science, knowledge. Omni means everything, all. Omniscient means He knows everything. He's also omnipresent. In other words, He's there, everywhere. And David says, where will I run from your presence? Take the winds of the morning and go up. You're there. He says, even if I make my bed in hell, behold, oh, God's there. He's like, hi, David. Whoa. You've been there before me, after me. You can't run away from God. But there's a third word. It's not in your notes, but why don't you write this down? I've impressed you with two words. If you take, you know, CBBI, you'll get learn all these things, you know. He's not only omnipresent everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Write down, He's omnipotent. P-O-T-E-N-T. He can do anything and everything. Talk to Him. He can help us out. You say, Chris Janik, and I understand this is Old Testament theology, and you know, I still don't know. You know. I'm not all that religious. I come to church. I experience God in church. But I don't know this buddy-buddy system, this intimacy. I don't know God in that way because He's out there. I mean, we're not Israel. Well, three things you need to do about God if you approach Him. Number one, you need to acknowledge Him. Number one, A, acknowledge. Know that He is God. Be still, Psalm 46 verse 10. And know that I am God. Earth is His footstool. You know that? He's putting His foot right there. Earth is His. That is, He's in control. You open the newspapers or watch the telly and you think, Lord, who's in control? What's happening in our country? Look at nations rising against nations. And God said, listen, be still. I'm in control. Acknowledge His deity. He's God. We're not. Secondly, beyond acknowledging, connect. Connect with God as Father. Connect. I think this connection is important. We have a newsletter in OTAN, and a few months ago, we named it Access Point. Access Point. I like the word access. Because you go to airport, there's a particular place, and you have these four arrows. Well, there we are, meeting point. And there you have internet. Everything is accessible. God is accessible by us. So connect with Him.
You're riding on 29 highway, you find a miserable news, connect with God immediately. I'm ashamed I didn't. I called a few people. I was worried. 911. But what happened to this most important conversation I'm preaching on Sunday? I didn't do that. I'm guilty. I'm telling you, after I hung up all that, I'm thinking, oh God, I need to talk to you more detail. I mean, can you sit next to me, put your seatbelt on? Because, you know, I mean, it took me some time. I was ashamed. I said, Nyanakin, why don't you talk to God always? You know about Him, all this theology stuff. Where is the intimacy with God? And if you're in our church today, no matter what you're going through, God says, come, let's reason together. Draw near unto me. Talk. He's listening. But there's a third point I want to emphasize. This intimacy comes to us in flesh and blood. This is not just the Old Testament Shekinah glory that blinds us. This word, John 1 and verse 14, became flesh, carnia. He dwelt among us. He pitched his tent. He came and said, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this together. The Word became flesh. What do you call that? Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. Jesus is God who draws near to us. He is our, fill this word, sympathetic high priest. The word sympathy. You know, many times you're in trouble and people don't understand. They're like, I told you, there you are. He's always like that. Yeah, now you come. What do you want? God is not that. In Jesus, listen to this. He was tempted in every way. He bore our sorrows. He carried away our sins. And He says, come. Write this verse down. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It's not there. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your cares on Jesus, because He cares for you. Now, there are going to be times this coming week, you're going to sit there, you're in a mess and you're thinking, you know, who cares? Who cares? Have you felt like that? Who cares? Jesus does. He cares. That's why He says, talk. Let's talk about it. I can help you. Call on me. Come to me. Approach me. He is our sympathetic high priest. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 are two precious verses for me. You know, the reason why we can talk to God is not only because God is listening as a compassionate father. Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. In other words, Jesus is talking to His Father about you and me. Did you get this, church? Did you get this? This is unbelievable. This is Jesus' intercessory, high priestly role. After He died on Calvary and buried and rested and all that stuff, you know what He's doing? The one, number one job. Sorry to use the word job, sounds sacrilegious. But the main function of the resurrected Lord Jesus is a function about talking to us. No, talking to God about us. He represents us. He's our advocate to the Father. So when you mess up, He says, Dad, Father God, that's Chris Nyanakin. You know him. He's messed up again. But I died for him. I shed my blood for him. He's your child. Let's help him. We have a high priest who's interceding, who's talking to His Father on our behalf. So we can have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our sorrows. And just that little talk with Jesus will make it right all the time. Have you talked to Jesus? I used to love that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour. So, Jesus is sinless. He is the sinless Son of God. That's why when we are weak, He can help us. When we are tempted, He can strengthen us. When we are fallen into sin, He can rescue us. He is able to. Why? Because just as David knew Yahweh's protective care,
you and I today, because of Jesus, can cast all our cares on Him. Well, this series is exciting. I hope you're enjoying this series. It's about tongue pierced. We know we need to talk because God's listening. We can actually talk to Him because we know the kind of God He is. Now, finally, what are you going to say to Him? I mean, what are you going to say to Him? Well, our words, first of all, should be humble. I hope we don't come as Americans. Well, I'm not American, but I hope we don't come with this entitlement culture. It's my rights. I want what I want. Listen, we have no rights. We have received mercy. We've obtained grace. God has drawn us. We must be humble. Did you know how we approach God? On our knees. How do we approach? We bow in prayer. You know, they fell prostrate before Him. Why? These are postures that demonstrate humility. Let our words be few. Let's be humble. I really worry. I mean, I live with this teenage culture now because I go to Liberty midweek. And it just bothers me. Sometimes people are, yeah, God, we're in your presence now, you know. And, yeah, you know. And I'm like, are you talking? You know, it's like they're in Starbucks talking to a colleague or something. No, don't. I mean, I'm from India. And I live with Brahmins. I live with Muslims. Do you know how they talk to God? And we have this casual, nonchalant, yeah, it's me, yeah. You heard us. Like, who are you talking to? This is God on high. Earth is His footstool. We've got to be humble. We need to bow down to worship. I don't know what words you use, but let them be words of humility that ministers grace. Let's humble ourselves. We're talking to God, who's a consuming fire, but we are still alive. How do you want to talk to Him? Yeah, I had a bad day, you know. Let's be humble. Our words be humble. Secondly, our words be words of trust. Because God takes the initiative and He says, come to me. He says, I'm going to help you. So if at all we can do anything, it's simply because we are trusting what Jesus already has done for us. So don't let's come to God like, you know, yeah, you said this, I want to hold you to that. Or, you know, some people have this name it and claim it and prosperity gospel. It bothers me watching this televangelist. It really does. They just command and demand things for, in Jesus' name, I want you to. Who are you talking to? I mean, do you work for God or God works for you? I get confused. Prayer could cause us to be awed with God's word. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm holding on. Would you do that? You know, the most commonest prayer in the Bible. You know what the most common prayer in the Bible is, in the entire Bible? Have mercy on me. That is that little prayer, which is the most common prayer in the entire corpus of the Bible. Lord, have mercy on me. Just find the number of times. You know what? That prayer has always been answered. Always. Whether it's blind Bartimaeus saying, Lord, have mercy. Jesus answers. He responds. Why? Because it's with a humble attitude. It's, Lord, I'm trusting you. Help me. Finally, our words should not only be humble and trusting. It is in that context, number three, we can boldly approach God's throne of grace. Because of Jesus, because of His invitation, we can come and find grace and help. So that boldness is not like a nonchalant bold. That is a confidence that we have an advocate with the Father. We can be confident because God is a compassionate Father. We can be confident because Christ paid and He is going to help us. That's the confidence that we have. There's one more thing I want to leave you with, church. How are your prayers? How do you talk to God? How about talking to God, but not just for what I need? What about talking to God for someone else in need? This is what prayer is. Usually it's petition. Give me, give me, give me. Right? Most of our prayers, look, it's like a shopping list. What about intercession? What about supplication?
What about standing in the gap? Is someone in your family not yet saved? They do not know Jesus Christ. When was the last time you talked to Jesus, our Savior, about them? To create an opportunity. Talk. He's listening. Have you found yourself in a health situation? You've gone to doctors, and like that woman with the hemorrhage in Mark chapter 5, the more doctors he saw, the worse it became. When was the last time you took that to God and said, God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. Could you do for me? Talk. He's listening. Daddy. He cares. He's compassionate. He's full of mercy. But would you talk for others to God? Bring them to the throne. This throne that we approach, we found grace. We found mercy. We found help in time of our need. Now people are in need. What are we doing? We're talking to God for them. I think that is wonderful. We must go beyond that. That is our priority. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First and all, of first importance, all prayer be made at all times for all men, particularly those in authority. Pray. Make it a priority. But I don't want to leave that with the pressure of prioritizing prayer. Hey, listen, it's a privilege. What a privilege. Not, oh, I've got to pray before eating. It's a privilege. I was once helping in a tsunami and the food came and they started eating. And I told my friend Shekhar, I said, Shekhar, hey, you're a Christian. Well, why don't we pray before you eat? And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, Dr. Nyanakin, he says, y'all pray before you eat in America. We are eating because we prayed. We don't have food. We've always been praying. It's not like just because there's food we pray. Prayer is a posture that is perpetual. We are constantly in touch, in conversation. This most important conversation with the God Almighty. What will it do? Number one, it will grow our faith. It will grow our faith in God's ability. God is able. Talk to Him. You'll see you are strengthened. Secondly, it will strengthen not only your relationship with God, it will strengthen your relationship with one another. Because we are praying together, corporate prayer in our small groups. And most importantly, it will impact the world for Jesus Christ. One of my favorite songs was written by Joseph Striving. Joseph Striving was born in Ireland. And in those desperate days, we're talking about 1830, there was no food, there was all kinds of plagues. So he migrated to Canada. When he was there, he started teaching and he fell in love with this girl, Elisa. Elisa was the love of his life. He had his relationship with her. He was a Christian. Times were tough, but he was glad he had his fiancée, Elisa. The night before the wedding, in a freakish accident, Elisa drowned and died. How do you think you'll feel? He was so desperate. He actually went to commit suicide. He lost his mind. Time went on, and you know what happened? He found out his mother was dying also in Ireland. Mentally, she was out. And he didn't know what to do. He almost gave up when God met with Joseph Striving. He sat down and he wrote a poem. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Next time you sing that song, think about the guy who wrote it. It was a poem that Joseph Striving composed after his fiancée died the day before his wedding to a mother who was mentally retarded and he couldn't be there. What a friend. Hey, talk. God is listening.